They don't talk about him like they talk about Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson, he lost this year too. Patrick Mahomes. Who else is beating Patrick Mahomes? Joe Burrow in the playoffs one time? And even had a game. They should have lost that. First half was getting smoked.
That's a couple. Remember the game? They should have won.
First half, he was getting smoked, right? The Patrick Mahomes, the second half, started getting crazy with the ball, right? Joe Burrow was sacked, broke out of the sack a couple plays. All I'm saying is that for the way that we grade Lamar Jackson, it's crazy because he's doing the best he can. He could be better in the playoffs. I would give him that. He could be better in the playoffs. But a guy like Josh Allen, who I love, I think Josh is better than Lamar, just being honest, right? But I don't think we don't grade Josh the same way we grade Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. Do we?
That's LeSean McCoy on FS1 talking about the unfair criticism for Lamar Jackson. And we talk about this all the time, about the goalposts keep moving for Lamar Jackson. But I will say this. Lamar Jackson has done everything he can when healthy during the regular season in a football game. And he's won two MVPs and he's put his team in position to be in the playoffs, to be the one seed in the playoffs in almost every year he's been healthy. He has not been great in the playoffs. He has put together a half of really good football in the playoffs against Houston. And I do feel like while some of the criticism of Lamar Jackson is unfair, because the guy's won two MVPs, he does need to play better in the postseason. And I do think getting to a Super Bowl, winning a Super Bowl, will quiet a lot. There are some people that are going to criticize no matter what. But getting to that next step will quiet some of the noise.
We put out a poll, IA1057, the fan is how you can vote on it. Lamar Jackson always seems to be a polarizing player locally and nationally. Does Lamar need to win a ring to quiet the outside noise, or should the MVPs speak for themselves? Has to win it all, 65.8%. Too much criticism for LJ, 34.2%, already 250 votes in. And yeah, I mean, look, the postseason criticism is valid. I mean, I don't care if you're the biggest Lamar Jackson defender ever. The postseason criticism is valid. But with that being said, the goalposts are frequently moved when we're talking about Lamar Jackson. And I always go back to this, Ken. People hate being wrong.
Yes.
It could be about sports.
Oh, yes.
It could be about politics. It could be about whatever.
Yeah.
People hate being wrong. And I think there were so many people that were wrong about Lamar Jackson going back to the draft process, Bill Polian.
Yeah.
And saying that his style of play will never work at the NFL level. And you go to 2018, Joe Flacco gets hurt, Lamar Jackson takes over and never looked back. They won the division. He had a horrific first half in that Chargers playoff game, and then they were able to make it probably closer than the score really indicated.
That game's over.
But, you know, there were still valid questions about whether or not he could accurately throw the football after his rookie year. He comes out, leads the NFL in touchdown passes, leads the NFL in touchdown passes from the pocket. His completion percentage increases by 8% year over year. And then, oh, Lamar can't come back from behind double digits. Remember that conversation? Yeah.
The offense isn't suited for
going, oh, Lamar can't throw for 300 yards. Oh, Lamar can't throw for 400 yards. And he's done all of that. And now, oh, he can't beat Mahomes. And then he beat Mahomes in the regular season game back in 22. And the injuries, and he wins a second MVP. And now it's the postseason. And until Lamar Jackson leads the Ravens to a Super Bowl, his detractors are always going to hold that over his head.
I don't think it was as loud, but there were similar criticism about Peyton Manning until he won a Super Bowl. And Peyton Manning had all the stats in the regular season and more, like, even bigger Absolutely. Passing numbers.
Absolutely.
And he would struggle in the postseason. He had many struggles in the postseason until he won that first Super Bowl. There was a lot of talk about the fact that he wasn't a great quarterback until you get that ring. And then he won the second one at the end of his career where the defense carried him to it. He still got two rings, like his brother. But obviously he was measured against Tom Brady, who eventually won seven. Everybody now is going to be measured against Patrick Mahomes. And whether it's fair or not, but once you get that first one, it changes the conversation. There will always be people, for whatever reason, that Lamar Jackson will not be their flavor of ice cream. But once he wins that first one, if and when he gets that first one, it changes the narrative completely.
Without question. And unfortunately for Lamar, the Tractors know this, he didn't have much success in bowl games going back to his time at Louisville. He never won a state championship in high school. But something that frustrates me all the time is when critics want to say, oh, Lamar never wins any big games. How the hell is that possible? You know, for a guy that's led the Ravens to the number one seed twice, you're telling me none of those were big games?
Yeah. He's won a ton of regular season games.
That's what I'm saying. But you go back to last year where this team is beating the brakes off playoff teams, beating the brakes off the 49ers, you know, on Christmas. Those aren't big games.
No, he's won a lot of big regular season games. He's won two playoff games in Tennessee and then at home against the Houston Texans. And for me, I was dead wrong. I thought after playing poorly in the first half against Houston, as well as he played in the second half, I thought he was going to come out and play a great game against Kansas City. Early on, he has the touchdown pass to Zay Flowers. Yep. I go, here we go. And then he was bad. He was bad. Like, the throws down the sidelines weren't close. He had a nice little run with Zay, and then Zay has the fumble at the goal line. If Zay doesn't fumble at the goal line, they might still win that game.
Sure.
But, like, the pass to Isaiah Likely in triple coverage
was inexcusable.
You can't do that. You can't do that in a regular season game. You surely can't do that in a playoff game. Like, the decision-making, it almost feels like he gets into panic mode when he's behind in a playoff game.
Yeah, and it's not just him. I mean, it's been the team. It's been the play callers in both instances. Mm-hmm. And, oh, by the way, it's two different offensive coordinators where you wish you could pinpoint just one thing when it comes to the lack of postseason success for Lamar Jackson and, quite frankly, this organization dating back to 2013 after their second Super Bowl. But unfortunately, it's not just one thing, Ken. It's not just Lamar Jackson. It's not just the play call. It's not just John Harbaugh. It's this whole confluence of events that just have led to these duds.
Yeah, and I want to make something clear. If and when he wins a Super Bowl, there will still be people that will complain about Lamar Jackson. You can't ever stop the lunatic fringe. But once he wins a Super Bowl, he is legitimized. You can't take that away from him. He becomes a different level guy once you get that Super Bowl win. You can never take that away. That's why, like, Eli Manning...
He's a stone-cold Hall of Famer.
Yes. Eli Manning is probably going to go to the Hall of Fame because he won two Super Bowls in New York. His career numbers beyond that aren't... Like, the amass of yardage and touchdowns are there
because of
the years he played a lot and the years he played. It's a passing league now. But, like, his numbers aren't great beyond those, but he's going to go to the Hall of Fame because he won two Super Bowls. If Lamar Jackson gets a Hall of Fame, gets a Super Bowl beyond the two MVPs and whatever else he does, yes, he's a Hall of Famer.
He'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I mean, he's going to absolutely positively obliterate every single quarterback rushing record to go along with his passing, to go along with those touchdown passes. And when Lamar Jackson is healthy, this team is competing for one of the top seeds in the AFC.
We've documented
every single year. Now it's just time for them to break through.
Ravens are on the practice field in exactly 12 days. Rookies report on the 13th. Vets have to be there by the 20th. On the field on the 21st. I can't believe football's here, Bone. It's here.
It's crazy.
It's hot.
Yeah, September and October should be a lot of fun in this town.
Yeah, we're expecting a big run from the Orioles and a big start from the Ravens. And coming up next, we stay in the National Football League. It's Northern Exposure. And Joe Burrow had some interesting comments about eventually going to an 18-game season. We'll give you those next here on The Fan.
What do you think the perfect football schedule is in terms of weeks and bye weeks?
How many games are we playing?
You tell me.
18.
18? Got to have two bye weeks.
I like
that.
And
I think it'd be cool to do a normal bye week schedule that it is now. Like, have it spread out. But then, like, week 13, do, like, the Pro Bowl break. Where you're doing like the 7-on-7 and all the skills challenges like the NBA does, because I think that would get more ratings for the Pro Bowl.
Yes.
And then it would also give everybody that bye week going into like the last six games of the year.
That was Joe Burrow on Pardon My Take, the podcast, talking about a perfect 18-game schedule, two bye weeks, Pro Bowl during a league-wide Week 13 bye. It gives the league what they want, which is 18 games, but also gets them to President's Day weekend for the Super Bowl. Chase Daniel, former player, now in the media, quote tweeted this, saying, I guarantee you every NFL player seeing this is not happy with Burrow for saying this. The NFLPA is already having meetings about damage control. The owners just gain leverage over the players. This is what happens when a top five quarterback speaks in favor of an 18-game season. The statistics, Bone, you were just looking at, say otherwise, players are sort of they're already pot committed to an 18-game season.
Yeah, I don't have the actual numbers, but we were talking during the break, and it feels like more players this go around when we talk about adding an extra game are in favor for it as opposed to last go around where I feel like we were talking about adding a 17th game for forever. Brooke Pryor, who covers the Steelers in the NFL for ESPN, friend of the show.
Yes.
She's been on with us multiple times. She did a survey a few weeks back, and of the players surveyed by ESPN, 46% were in favor of an 18-game schedule with stipulations. 8% voted yes without any stipulations. And, hey, we had Arthur Millett on the show a couple weeks ago, and we asked him about an 18th game, and he said, I'll take the extra paycheck. And I mean, you got to think, especially for guys that aren't making the big money, and maybe they're making league minimum, and you get that extra paycheck. I mean, that can be significant for some, but in terms of Joe Burrow's idea, I like the second bye idea of it being late because, look, when you're in the stretch run of the schedule, you want to see your stars. You want to see every team as healthy as possible. What do you think about the Pro Bowl festivities in the middle of the year? I get what he's saying.
Well, the NBA and NHL do that. So does baseball. I think if it's going to be what it's now, where it's non-contact and all that, then sure, because you probably get everybody involved in it. Remember, if you do it where it is now, the teams that are involved in the Super Bowl don't show up. If you do it in the middle of the year, everybody shows up because it's a party. If everybody's got the week off and you come back the following week, you do it there week 13-ish. I don't mind that because there's no contact football going on.
No, I don't mind it either. And he's right. I'm sure they would definitely get more ratings in the middle of the season as opposed to how they have it now in between the conference championship and the Super Bowl. But it seems inevitable, Ken.
Yes.
This 18th.
Once we went to 17, we were going to 18.
Yeah, because obviously it's weird having an odd number of games.
Yeah, because like they want their max revenue. One year you have 9 home games, next year you have 8. We want to have 9 and 9, so we get the 9 home games every single year. We talked about this with Jason. We're going to have 18 games. Everybody's going to be playing an international game at some point. Like the NFL is going to squeeze all the juice it can as far as money, and it's their right to do so.
Absolutely.
Like, we don't have to like everything, but 18 games, if you give me 2 bye weeks, which I said a long time ago, you want to go to 18 games, you got to give them 2 bye weeks. I'm cool with that.
And how many years have people been begging for a national holiday the Monday after the Super Bowl? Well, if they did this, it would fall on President's Day, which of course is a national holiday, but yeah, I think the TV companies can opt out of their deal. I want to say it's 2027, 2028. And once that happens, then that really opens the door for the NFL to come in and try and implement this. And it's a matter of when, not if.
Yeah, this is fait accompli. Once you got to 17, you're going to 18. Plus, you get rid of another preseason game, which nobody likes.
No.
So you go from... Remember, a couple years ago, we were playing 4 preseason games. Now we're playing 3. We're eventually going to get to 2. We might eventually not have preseason games, though. They make money off of them because you'll just have these joint practices. Now, they probably will still have the 2 because you're stealing money in those because you can't really make money off joint practices.
Yeah, they're not going to give up the gate.
Yeah, but like nobody likes preseason football. It's become essentially unwatchable.
Well, it's become unwatchable because now you're seeing more and more
nobody
teams
plays.
Every single year. No one plays, and you can't blame them. I mean, you think of how much the injuries derailed the Ravens a couple years ago, and just how beside himself, John Harbaugh, was when J.K. Dobbins is getting carted off the field in a meaningless game in Washington.
Yeah, this is coming. I think it's sooner rather than later. And
you mentioned the NFL not failing on any opportunity to maximize profit. I mean, if you need any bigger illustration, the fact that the Ravens and Steelers as well, we're playing two games on a Wednesday on Christmas, mm-hmm. where NBA, you had your time owning that holiday. Now it's NFL's
over.
And selling it to Netflix.
Yeah, well, they're going to get as many bites at the apple as they can. And yes, they are now going to play on a Wednesday. They're showing you now. Remember, they used to give NBA Christmas. They used to give high school football Fridays and college football Saturdays. Those days are gone.
Dude, the NFL, they're playing. Aren't they playing Saturday games during the playoffs?
Yeah.
For college this year? I'm pretty positive.
I'm pretty sure the playoffs and the NFL are going up against each other. So, yeah.
They don't care. NFL doesn't give it. Remember when they didn't play, Sunday Night Football to not intrude on the World Series?
Those days are long gone.
That's been long gone at this point. The NFL doesn't care. They care about number one.
Yeah, the NFL shoves its weight around and basically says you can get what you can get. Yeah. Like, I remember loving Christmas because it was like the NBA, the season start was kind of like a soft opening of a restaurant, but the actual grand opening was Christmas. Now the NFL's like, I guess some people will watch your NBA games, but everybody's watching the NFL. That's where it is. It's just that simple.
Ken, do you think we ever get to a point where the Super Bowl is on a streaming-only service? Hypothetically, Netflix.
No, because they make so much money off of advertising.
Yeah.
Where it's now, $7 million for 30 seconds? Yeah. Like, I don't. Because of the money they make off of advertising.
Yeah.
Now, would it surprise me?
Yeah, I'm not going to say never.
But, like, as long as the part of the buy-in for, say, ABC, CBS, Fox, and they spend these billions of dollars to show games every week, and part of that is they get a Super Bowl. Now, I guess, hypothetically speaking, Netflix could jump in and say, hey, we want this and we want that. And if they outbid somebody else, then sure, I guess it's possible. But I think CBS, like the main networks are kind of dug in on that.
Oh, for sure. But I mean, Netflix, they paid $75 million for each of the two Christmas games.
Yes.
So $150 cool, crisp dollars heading the NFL's way for two Christmas games. That's where going down that hypothetical land. I mean, how much could they charge for a Super Bowl?
Yeah. Like, and by the way, crazy. how much would your monthly rates on Netflix seem to have gone up like every year? What's it going to cost if you have to watch Super Bowl on Netflix? That's an interesting hypothetical. Hey, coming up next, it's Tuesday, and what is a Tuesday without our friend Rita Hubbard? We'll talk Orioles and Ravens. Is she worried about any Orioles getting traded at the deadline? We'll ask her next here on The Fan. Orioles off yesterday. They start a three-game set against the Cubs tonight, and Baltimore Baseball tonight's at 5:30. Bob Haney and Jim Hunter, they'll be live from Pickles and joining us now to talk some baseball, maybe some football as well. Our weekly chat with our friend Rita Hubbard. And Rita, good afternoon. Thank you as always for joining us. So I'll start here. We're exactly 3 weeks away from the trade deadline. Is anyone untouchable for Rita Hubbard if you were the GM?
Yeah, I mean, you know, You got to keep there's a couple of guys for sure. Kerstedt, I'm keeping. Holiday, I'm keeping.
Okay.
Obviously.
Mayo
and maybe Basayo. I'll throw him in there, but everybody else is up for grabs as far as I'm concerned. Those are so that's what, three in the possible at that point.
So Colton Cowser, you would trade him?
Love Colton Cowser. Y'all know that was my boy. Yep, he can go too. Yep. Okay. I love Colton. And I mean, but listen, it's going to be an expensive price that they're going to have to pay. They need pitching. That's the bottom line. And other teams know that they need pitching. So they're going to take a look and say, we like this young prospect. We like that young prospect. So, you know, it all depends on what they are willing to give up. And I love Colton. And, the problem is that Colton hasn't been as consistent as I'm sure he'd like to be. So it puts him kind of in a position where he might be able to get moved. But those guys are the ones, in my opinion, from a young perspective, that absolutely I would not touch. Because I think that Kerstedt is a major leaguer, and we don't know what's going to happen with the situation with Santander in this offseason. So, and those other guys are you know, we know that the other guys is batters. So I'm keeping those guys. Those are my core guys. And then everybody else, hey, you might be on the move. Sorry to tell you.
Rita, are there any players on opposing teams that you're kind of eyeing in particular when it comes to the upcoming trade deadline? Any relievers or starters?
Well, I don't know how true this is, but I keep hearing rumors that, the Rangers are potentially going to be sellers, which mm-hmm. is crazy. I guess maybe it's not crazy. They won their championship, so they probably feel like we can let go of some of these payrolls, because I think they spent somewhere close to $500 million last year in payroll for some of these guys. So I'm curious to see which one of their, is Scherzer out of here? I know that
we're talking about Nathan Eovaldi, possibly.
Yeah. I mean, listen, see what they got going on and go through and see what you can do for them. But the rumor is that they, got a fire sale going on. And then the Nationals, I'm hearing that potentially could be looking to trade. And so, obviously from a perspective of geographical, somebody doesn't have to go far. You can go up the street and down the street for if you're in Baltimore and get your guy. So they potentially have some guys that they'd be looking to move. But obviously we know that pitching is what they need, and from my understanding, the Rangers are willing to let guys go, particularly guys that were like 1 year deal guys. So, you got to do what you got to do. Do you want to win this championship? You're going to have to, grab a guy that's probably going to be another situation like Corbin Burns, where he's probably not going to have like a whole bunch of RBIs or was under a 1 year deal or whatever. But, the stakes is high at this point, and I'm sure that the Orioles know that, and they just got to move accordingly.
So, Rita, and we're talking with Rita Hubbard, Inside Access here on The Fan. We saw a year ago that they were at the trade deadline. We expected to see some fireworks, and we got Fuji in the general. And so we lived that, and the Orioles lived that, and they know what they didn't do last year. Do you expect them in these next 3 weeks to be aggressive?
I would like to think that they are going to be aggressive. I would be surprised. I would be shocked if a well-named player didn't come to Baltimore from a pitching perspective. I would be surprised. I will say that. Let me put it that way. So, yes, I guess I expect them to be somewhat aggressive in that regard. Because we keep hearing, and this is, now you've told us that, look, we want to win now. We want to do these things now. And so if that's the case, if you want to maximize what you consider to be a championship window with Corbin Burns, because we don't know what that future is going to be like, then you have to find some replacements for Kyle Bradish and John Means. And it's not going to be easy. But what we saw, with Kate Povich and what we've now seen with Cole Irvin for quite a while now, it's not probably going to win you a championship. And so I would be surprised if somehow, some way they came. Because remember, I was on the show when that happened, when those trades happened. Yeah. We talked about it. And, we were all disappointed.
Yep.
With how that went. I would be surprised if coming up now we have that same sentiment that we had last year when we all talked during that time.
Will there be some sentiment, regret about, in your mind, are you worried that you'll have some regret about somebody they traded?
I think that that's going to be the case regardless, right? Like, look, somebody that's going to be a major leaguer is going to leave mm-hmm. if they make an aggressive trade. That's the reality of it. Nobody liked is going to be, you know what I'm saying? It's nobody gonna, yeah. Nobody that people don't necessarily feel like moves the needle are going to go for guys that we think could potentially help this pitching staff in a major way. It's going to be a major person. And obviously there's going to be guys that's untouchable on even on the current roster, like an Adley or Gunnar. Hey, those guys are not leaving. Grayson, no. But, I mean, once you start looking at everybody else.
Ryan, you know, Mountcastle?
Listen, Mountcastle, I love, and he's the first one that comes to my mind, actually, in terms of guys that are currently playing that I could potentially see the Orioles moving. Is it unfortunate? Absolutely. We have grown accustomed to Mountie. We love him here. And, you know, you would love to see if the Orioles win a World Series, somehow Mountcastle is on this roster. But at the end of the day, you can't just give away what you know, what you can consider to be disposable and think that you're supposed to get spectacular. It don't work like that. So it's going to be somebody that we're attached to, and I'm already kind of grieving whoever that could potentially be, or maybe the thought of that person if it's on the minor league level. But ultimately, there's a bigger picture that has to be painted, and they're going to have to do what they have to do.
We're speaking to Rita Hubbard. It's Inside Access on the Fan. Rita, who is the biggest all-star snub for the O's?
I don't get me wrong. Kimbrel, absolutely, because there was a whole Kimbrel discourse on the timeline. I mean, people were upset. And it's so funny, right, because Kimbrel is a guy that only us Orioles fans, I feel like, can talk bad about. You know what I mean? Like, because, yes, we've talked about his struggles. But overall, and I've never really jumped on that bandwagon. My concern has always been in regards to Kimbrel, has always been later on in the season, what he was going to be like. But he has still been very reliable, in my opinion, up until this point. So people are going to say Kimbrel, they were upset. But I was more upset for Santander. I really was. I because Kyle Tucker, isn't he unhealthy? He's not.
He hadn't played,
since June 3rd.
Okay, so what are we doing here? I think that's my issue with that, right? Like, that is to me, what are we doing? Why is a guy that isn't even going to play going to be the guy that you chose to begin with? And, you know, I like all of these all-star situations, they are like popularity contests, in my opinion. I think a lot of it is name, because people was upset about Semien, who's not having a good year for the Rangers. And honestly, his career has kind of been, you know, seesawish. But we know who he is, as opposed to, I guess, a guy like Jordan Westberg, where that argument came in. And so you're like, well, I don't understand. Well, you do understand, right? Everybody knows more about Semien than they do about Westberg. That's kind of how this goes. Same thing with Kyle Tucker and the team that he plays for. So for me,
line, we'll ask her next here on the Fan. Orioles off yesterday. They start a 3-game set against the Cubs tonight. And Baltimore Baseball tonight's at 5:30. Bob Haney and Jim Hunter, they'll be live from Pickles and joining us now to talk some baseball, maybe some football as well. Our weekly chat with our friend Rita Hubbard. And Rita, good afternoon. Thank you as always for joining us. So I'll start here. We're exactly 3 weeks away from the trade deadline. Is anyone untouchable for Rita Hubbard if you were the GM?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got to keep – there's a couple of guys for sure. Kerstedt, I'm keeping. Holiday, I'm keeping.
Okay.
Obviously.
Mayo.
And maybe Vasayo. I'll throw him in there. But everybody else is up for grabs as far as I'm concerned. Those are so that's what, 3 in the possible at that point?
So Colton Cowser, you would trade him?
Love Colton Cowser. Y'all know that was my boy. Yep, he can go too. Yep. Okay. I love Colton. And I mean, but listen, it's going to be an expensive price that they're going to have to pay. They need pitching. That's the bottom line. And other teams know that they need pitching. So they're going to take a look and say, we like this young prospect. We like that young prospect. So, you know, it all depends on what they are willing to give up. And I love Colton. And, the problem is that Colton hasn't been as consistent as I'm sure he'd like to be. So it puts him kind of in a position where he might be able to get moved. But those guys are the ones, in my opinion, from a young perspective, that absolutely I would not touch. Because I think that Kerstedt is a major leaguer, and we don't know what's going to happen with the situation with Santander in this offseason. So, and those other guys are you know, we know that the other guys is batter. So I'm keeping those guys. Those are my core guys. And then everybody else, hey, you might be on the move. Sorry to tell you.
Rita, are there any players on opposing teams that you're kind of eyeing in particular when it comes to the upcoming trade deadline? Any relievers or starters?
Well, you know, I mean, I don't know how true this is, but I keep hearing rumors that, you know, the Rangers are potentially going to be sellers, which is crazy. I guess maybe it's not crazy. They won their championship, so they probably feel like we can let go of some of these payrolls, you know, because I think they spent somewhere close to $500 million last year in payroll for some of these guys. So I'm curious to see which one of their, you know, is Scherzer out of here. I know that
they're talking about Nathan Eovaldi possibly.
Yeah. I mean, listen, see what they got going on and go through and see what you can do for them. But the rumor is that they, you know, got a fire sale going on. And then the Nationals, I'm hearing that potentially could be looking to trade. And so, you know, obviously from a perspective of geographical, somebody doesn't have to go far. You can go up the street and, you know, down the street for if you're in Baltimore and get your guy. So they potentially have some guys that they'd be looking to move. But, you know, obviously we know that pitching is what they need. And from my understanding, the Rangers are willing to let guys go, particularly guys that were like one-year deal guys. So, you know, you got to do what you got to do. Do you want to win this championship? You're going to have to, you know, grab a guy that's probably going to be another situation like Corbin Burns, where he's probably not going to have like a whole bunch of RBIs or was under a one-year deal or whatever. But, you know, the stakes is high at this point, and I'm sure that the Orioles know that, and they just got to move accordingly.
So, Rita, and we're talking with Rita Hubbard, Inside Access here on The Fan. We saw a year ago that they were at the trade deadline. We expected to see some fireworks, and we got Fuji in the general. And so we lived that, and the Orioles lived that, and they know what they didn't do last year. Do you expect them in these next 3 weeks to be aggressive?
I would like to think that they are going to be aggressive. I would be surprised. I would be shocked if a well-named player didn't come to Baltimore from a pitching perspective. I would be surprised. I will say that. Let me put it that way. So, yes, I guess I expect them to be somewhat aggressive in that regard. Because we keep hearing, and this is, you know, you've told us that, you know, look, we want to win now. We want to do these things now. And so if that's the case, if you want to maximize what you consider to be a championship window with Corbin Burns, because we don't know what that future is going to be like, then you have to find some replacements for Kyle Bradish and John Means. And it's not going to be easy. But what we saw, you know, with Kate Povich and what we've now seen with Cole Irvin for quite a while now, it's not probably going to win you a championship. And so I would be surprised if somehow, some way they came. Because remember, I was on the show when that happened, when those trades happened. Yeah. We talked about it. And, you know, we were all disappointed.
Yep.
with how that went. I would be surprised if coming up now we have that same sentiment that we had last year when we all talked during that time.
Will there be some sentiment, regret about, in your mind, are you worried that you'll have some regret about somebody they traded?
I think that that's going to be the case regardless, right? Like, look, somebody that's going to be a major leaguer is going to leave if they make an aggressive trade. That's the reality of it. Nobody liked is going to be, you know what I'm saying? It's nobody gonna,
yeah.
Nobody that people don't necessarily feel like moves the needle are going to go for guys that we think could potentially help this pitching staff in a major way. It's going to be a major person. And obviously there's going to be guys that's untouchable even on the current roster, like an Adley or Gunnar. Hey, those guys are not leaving. Grayson, no. But, I mean, once you start looking at everybody else.
Ryan, you know, Mountcastle.
Listen, Mountcastle, I love, and he's the first one that comes to my mind, actually, in terms of guys that are currently playing that I could potentially see the Orioles moving. Is it unfortunate? Absolutely. We have grown accustomed to Mountie. We love him here. And, you know, you would love to see if the Orioles win a World Series, somehow Mountcastle is on this roster. But at the end of the day, you can't just give away what you know, what you can consider to be disposable and think that you're supposed to get spectacular. It don't work like that. So it's going to be somebody that we're attached to, and I'm already kind of grieving whoever that could potentially be, or maybe the thought of that person if it's on the minor league level. But ultimately, there's a bigger picture that has to be painted, and they're going to have to do what they have to do.
We're speaking to Rita Hubbard. It's Inside Access on the Fam. Rita, who was the biggest all-star snub for the O's?
I don't get me wrong. Kimbrel absolutely, because there was a whole Kimbrel discourse on the timeline. I mean, people were upset. And it's so funny, right? Because Kimbrel is a guy that only us Orioles fans, I feel like, can talk bad about. You know what I mean? Like, because, yes, we've talked about his struggles. But overall, and I've never really jumped on that bandwagon. My concern has always been, in regards to Kimbrel, has always been later on in the season, what he was going to be like. But he has still been very reliable, in my opinion, up until this point. So people are going to say Kimbrel, they were upset, but I was more upset for Santander. I really was. I because Kyle Tucker, isn't he unhealthy?
He's not. He hasn't played
since June 3rd.
Okay, so what are we doing here? I think that's my issue with that, right? Like, that is to me, what are we doing? Why is a guy that isn't even going to play going to be the guy that you chose to begin with? And, you know, I like all of these all-star situations, they are like popularity contests, in my opinion. I think a lot of it is name, because people was upset about Semien, who's not having a good year for the Rangers. And honestly, his career has kind of been, you know, seesawish. But we know who he is, as opposed to, I guess, a guy like Jordan Westberg, where that argument came in. And so you're like, well, I don't understand. Well, you do understand, right? Everybody knows more about Semien than they do about Westberg. That's kind of how this goes. Same thing with Kyle Tucker and the team that he plays for. So for me, it was Santander, because I believe that, you know, yes, I know he had a slow start. But who had a better June than him? Maybe Aaron Judge at one point, but Aaron Judge was a shoe-in at that point. So that's making my point. Santander should have absolutely been a reserve, and it's crazy.
Let's finish here. Yesterday was an off day. Today would have been a good day to see Kobe Mayo in Baltimore. When do you think we see Kobe Mayo?
I was thinking this week, y'all.
Yeah.
I think because they play the Cubs and then with the Yankees.
Yankees and then the All-Star break.
And then the All-Star break. So I'm thinking sometime before the All-Star break, we're seeing Mayo, because, in terms of what we just talked about, in terms of trades, I just always assume that, you know, it's the guys are getting ready to start coming up because other guys are potentially going to get moved. So, you know, it's kind of like a preface of what's to come. And, look, we saw the benefits of bringing up Kerstad. And how, you know, when you finally put him in and get him more play time, how he's, you know, how that's worked out for them. So Mayo is next. I mean, he's literally the one that's next in line. And I'm excited. Hopefully it's this week, because I want to get a shirt. Ha. Y'all know I'll be collecting this.
Yeah.
I collect the Welcome to the Show shirts. So, you know, hopefully they'll do that. And look, what better way to do it than against the Yankees, who have they lost? 6 series straight or something like that?
Yeah, 15 of 20 they've lost.
They've lost like 6 straight series or something. Maybe 7 with the Red Sox. That's just off the top of my head. But let's make it worse. Let's just keep the party going. Let's make it 7 or let's make it 8 with this weekend, and let Kobe Mayo get some grind in that regard. So hopefully we'll get to see Mayo this week.
Rita, we know that you've been to plenty of cool places in your life, and we're going to ask this question for TMI next. If money is not a part of the equation, if you could go on a 2-week trip anywhere, where are you going?
Okay, so that is loaded. That's, for me, it's a loaded answer. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to probably do a few things. First of all, I'm going to Europe. So I'd probably go to Spain first. I'd go to Barcelona, then I'd go to Ibiza. And then I'm going to go to south of France.
I've been there. Villefranche. Very nice.
So that's 2 weeks within itself, right? Because I got to do at least 3 days here, at least 3 days here, at least 3 days here. Well, that's 9 days, right? And then you got to start putting in the travel, like the travel days.
Yeah.
That's about 2 weeks. So that would be my who's been to, anybody been to Saint-Tropez?
I've not been to Saint-Tropez. No,
okay, I've not. Well,
that's probably on my list too in that 2 week joint. So I'm if money is not an object.
What about the Maldives?
Oh, Maldives looks beautiful.
Yes.
Now that place looks beautiful. I would love to go to a place like Maldives. But for me, I'm the type of person I like to eat.
Yeah.
On my
Who
trip.
Doesn't?
So, I mean, people go to London for fun. So I don't know.
Yeah, food's not good there.
That's true.
Like, y'all be like, I'm going to London, and they have beans and toast for breakfast in dreary weather.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
I just don't even understand the whole point. I'm just saying that weather and food are, like, they're motivators for me.
Rita,
so I know in Spain I'm eating good. Yeah. I know I'm eating good and drinking good.
Yeah. I say this all the time. Food is easily a top three thing in life. Yeah. It has to be for every single person.
You.
Are you doing it wrong?
Everybody. No beans and toast for breakfast.
No.
I'm sorry. I'm not motivated to go to London off of that alone.
You and Glenn tonight?
Me tonight. Me by myself.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have Zach Bollinger from our Ryan Ripken, the Ryan Ripken show.
Yeah.
I'm going to have Kelsey Nicole Nelson come in, and we're going to talk. And of course, Glenn's going to call me from the beach, even though he's not going to do anything but complain, because that's all he does, complain about the beach. So.
Well, we'll be listening tonight. Rita, thanks as always. We'll chat next week.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon.
Thanks so much. Hey, coming up next, T-Bone Time, TMI, TIM, what you got?
That's the question for today. Jason, he's on vacation. A couple of my good friends, married friends, Ken, they recently traveled to Australia, which is pretty cool. 410-583-1057. Money is not a factor in the equation. If you could go anywhere, two-week trip, where would it be? 410-583-1057. We'll get into it next on Inside Access.
It's T-Bone Time, TMI with TIM, and the floor is yours.
It's summertime. A lot of people go cool places in the summer. Jason's on vacation right now. Ken, you're going somewhere at the end of the month, right?
Jamaica.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Jamaica's really, I've been there before. Jamaica's really cool. But I want to hear from the people, 410-583-1057. What place would you travel if money is not a factor? And I'm not talking one of those crazy cruises that are 6 months or whatever. A two-week vacation, if you could go anywhere. 410-583-1057. Also, a couple of my friends, they just went to Australia.
So that's a long flight.
That is a very long flight, that is for sure. A couple places that stand out to me, I feel like Hawaii would be beautiful.
Hawaii's a cool one.
Hawaii would be very cool and beautiful. The multiple islands there, and I like the sightseeing. I like the beaches. Going back to my Italian heritage, Ken, Italy. I feel like Italy would
be
amazing. My parents, they recently went there a couple years ago, and heck, we were just talking to Rita about food. Who doesn't like Italian food?
Italian food's amazing. Italy, it's different, too, because they don't use preservatives like we do.
No.
It's fresher.
It's actually real food that in Italy. I think a place like a Tokyo, Japan would be awesome to go to. We're talking in my friend group, because in 2025... we'll turn 30.
Mm-hmm.
So talking about maybe doing a cool trip, maybe to like Greece or something.
Oh, look at you.
Which would be nice, but that's still well over a year away. We shall see. If you wanted this is the U.S. news, the travel news, number one world's best place to visit this year, Paris.
Oh,
Paris on the list. Bora Bora.
Bora Bora is up there.
Glacier National Park is 3. Rome is 4. And the Swiss Alps at 5. That's the U.S. travel news. Ken, what place would you travel?
Bora Bora is a good one, but the Maldives, that's why I asked Rita. Like, the Maldives looks like it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Pretty chill. Just give me one of those drinks in hand and the beach, and I think I'm pretty good to go. I'm a simple kind of man.
Simple man. Ben? You got a place in mind?
Japan would be
Japan
cool.
Would be
and
awesome.
I was thinking Dubai. That would be pretty
Dubai?
Cool. It's really rich, okay. isn't it?
So yes, yeah. it like the and you know what's funny? All the like really nice high-end restaurants here, they're all in Dubai.
Really?
I know somebody that does like some building. He's like, yeah, all those like Nobu and stuff like that, they're in Dubai.
Interesting. 410-583-1057. Let's go out to Nancy in Perry Hall. Nancy, where would you want to go?
Well, I've been there, and I want to go back. I did a guided tour through a company called EF Go Ahead Tours, and we went to Greece and Rome.
Oh, cool.
It's really affordable, and we started out in Athens, then we went to Mykonos, and then Santorini, and then from there we did a four-day excursion to Rome. Got to see the Vatican and everything else, and Rome is where my grandmother was born.
Oh, awesome.
It was great, and I agree with you. The food, the Italian food, I don't eat Italian out. I only cook it at home.
Sure.
Or in Rome, and it was phenomenal. Of course, Greece was gorgeous, too. It was the most beautiful places I've ever been. Santorini is one of them. That's the white buildings with the blue tops.
Mm-hmm.
No. That's gorgeous.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you for the call, Nancy. And Italy, it's funny. My parents, when they went out there, obviously Barbalace is not a common name.
Barbalace.
Yes, but Barbalace. In Italy, and in particular Sicily, I believe, there's actually like a lot of Barbalaces out there. And my dad got connected with like one of his relatives out there, and he like helped give him a tour out there, and his wife cooked him like a really nice homemade meal. So pretty neat. I'd love to definitely make it out to Italy at some point.
Yeah, Italy's awesome. I've been to Italy a couple times.
Oh.
The people are amazing. The food is amazing.
I also heard my parents told me the food and drink out there like aren't terribly priced.
No, depending on where you go. Yeah, like if you're in the touristy spots in Rome, but like if you go into the towns, it's very fair.
We'll grab one more real quick. Linda is in Arnold. Linda, you're on the fan.
Hi, how are you?
Hey.
In 2022, in January, now rent at the close, so I was warm. I went to Alaska.
Alaska?
Mainly to see the Northern Lights,
okay.
And I did, but I also went ice fishing. I mushed a dog sled team. I hiked a glacier. All these cool things. Now, in September, I'm going to the Galapagos.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Now, that's a bucket list trip.
Oh, thanks for the call, Linda. That's awesome. Yeah. Alaska.
Yeah, my brother's done that.
Yeah? Did you like it?
He did. He also did the...
seeing the Northern Lights would be awesome.
He went on a cruise to Antarctica.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was...
cold.
That's something, yeah. It's definitely cold.
Yes.
Hey, coming up next, Orioles getting ready to start a three-game set with the Cubs, and thought maybe Corbin Burns will be starting tonight, but instead he's starting tomorrow, which will make him eligible for the All-Star game. Could he start and... what is the priority? Should he want to pitch twice before the All-Star break or pitch in the All-Star game? I know Imanaga is doing the same thing with the Cubs. We'll discuss next here on The Fan. It's T-Bone time, TMI with TIM, and the floor is yours.
It's summertime. A lot of people go cool places in the summer. Jason's on vacation right now. Ken, you're going somewhere at the end of the month, right?
Jamaica.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Jamaica's really, I've been there before. Jamaica's really cool. But I want to hear from the people. 410-583-1057. What place would you travel if money is not a factor? And I'm not talking one of those crazy cruises that are 6 months or whatever. A two-week vacation, if you could go anywhere. 410-583-1057. Also, a couple of my friends, they just went to Australia.
So that's a long flight.
That is a very long flight, that is for sure. A couple places that stand out to me, I feel like Hawaii would be beautiful.
Hawaii's a cool one.
Hawaii would be very cool and beautiful. The multiple islands there, and I like the sightseeing. I like the beaches. Going back to my Italian heritage, Ken, Italy. I feel like Italy would
Italy's
be
great.
Amazing. My parents, they recently went there a couple years ago and Heck, we were just talking to Rita about food. Who doesn't like Italian food?
Italian food's amazing. Italy, it's different, too, because there's no, they don't use preservatives
exactly.
like we do.
No.
It's fresher.
It's actually real food that in Italy. I think a place like a Tokyo, Japan would be awesome to go to. We're talking in my friend group because in 2025, we'll turn 30.
Mm-hmm.
So talking about maybe doing a cool trip, maybe to like Greece or something.
Oh, look at you.
Which would be nice, but that's still well over a year away. We shall see. If you wanted this is the U.S. news, the travel news, number one, world's best place to visit this year, Paris.
Oh,
Paris on the list. Bora Bora.
Bora Bora is up there.
Glacier National Park is 3. Rome is 4. And the Swiss Alps at 5. That's the U.S. travel news. Ken, what place would you travel?
Bora Bora is a good one, but the Maldives, that's why I asked Rita. Like, the Maldives looks like it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Pretty chill. Just give me one of those drinks in hand and the beach, and I think I'm pretty good to go. I'm a simple kind of man.
Simple man. Simple man. Ben? You got a place in mind?
Japan would be
Japan
cool.
Would be
and
awesome.
I was thinking Dubai. That'll be pretty
Dubai?
Cool.
Dubai?
It's really rich, okay. isn't it?
So yes, yeah. it like the and you know what's funny? All the like really nice high-end restaurants here, they're all in Dubai.
Really?
That's yeah, like, I know somebody that does like some building. He's like, yeah, all those like Nobu and stuff like that, they're in Dubai.
Interesting. 410-583-1057. Let's go out to Nancy in Perry Hall. Nancy, where would you want to go?
Well, I've been there, and I want to go back. I did a guided tour through a company called EF Go Ahead Tours, and we went to Greece and Rome.
Oh, cool.
It's really affordable, and we started out in Athens, then we went to Mykonos, and then Santorini, and then from there we did a four-day excursion to Rome. Got to see the Vatican and everything else. And Rome is where my grandmother was born.
Oh, awesome.
It was great. And I agree with you. The food, the Italian food, I don't eat Italian out. I only cook it at home.
Sure.
Or in Rome, and it was phenomenal. Of course, Greece was gorgeous, too. One of the most beautiful places I've ever been. Santorini is one of them. That's the white buildings with the blue tops.
Mm-hmm.
No. That's gorgeous.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you for the call, Nancy. And Italy, it's funny. My parents, when they went out there, obviously Barbalace is not a common name.
Barbalace.
Yes, but Barbalace. In Italy, and in particular Sicily, I believe, there's actually like a lot of Barbalaces out there. And my dad got connected with like one of his relatives out there, and he like helped give him a tour out there, and his wife cooked him like a really nice homemade meal. So pretty neat. We'd love to definitely make it out to Italy at some point.
Yeah, Italy's awesome. I've been to Italy a couple times.
Oh.
And the people are amazing. The food is amazing.
I also heard my parents told me the food and drink out there like aren't terribly priced.
No, it depends on where you go. Yeah, like if you're in the touristy spots in Rome, but like if you go into the towns, yeah, it's very fair.
We'll grab one more real quick. Linda is in Arnold. Linda, you're on the fan.
Hi, how are you?
Hey.
In 2022, in January, now rent at the close, so I was warm. I went to Alaska.
Alaska?
Mainly to see the Northern Lights,
okay.
And I did, but I also went ice fishing. I mushed a dog sled team. I hiked a glacier. All these cool things. Now, in September, I'm going to the Galapagos.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Now, that's a bucket list trip.
No, thanks for the call, Linda. That's awesome. Yeah. Alaska.
Yeah, my brother's done that.
Yeah? Did you like it?
He did. He also did the...
seeing the Northern Lights would be awesome.
He went on a cruise to Antarctica.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was...
cold.
That's something, yeah. It's definitely cold.
Yes.
Hey, coming up next, Orioles getting ready to start a three-game set with the Cubs, and we thought maybe Corbin Burns will be starting tonight, but instead he's starting tomorrow, which will make him eligible for the All-Star game. Could he start and... What is the priority? Should he want to pitch twice before the All-Star break or pitch in the All-Star game? I know Imanaga is doing the same thing with the Cubs. We'll discuss next here on The Fan.